And now, for the second time, actually the third time since I embarrassed her about her triathlete exploits, we're going to bring Tessa Grieger up to talk a little bit. Tessa Grieger. Oh, actually, grab that one.
Hi, Tessa.
All right. Hi, I'm back. So first, we have a special guest in the room, so I want to introduce Phil Sarnoff. Is that how you pronounce your last name? Okay. All right, sure. All right, that'll work. All right. So Phil is the executive director for Bike Utah, and he's here with a group of elected officials from Utah, and they're touring around Colorado, Boulder. They'll be doing a bike tour with us tomorrow. So I just wanted to introduce him and have him come up and say a few words about what they're doing and, you know, anything exciting that's happening in Utah. Some of you may have heard that Salt Lake was one of the first cities to put in a protected intersection. They've got bike share, so there's a lot that's been happening around there. So I'll hand it off to Phil to say a few words. So thanks, Phil.
Well, thanks so much for having me. This is kind of next level. We don't do this in Utah so much. But the reason why we're here is we've been doing a series of tours called Mobile Active Transportation Tours. This is our third summer doing them. And basically what we do is we pick communities. So far, we've just been doing it in Utah and highlight the great things that they're doing. We have a lot of communities that have little pieces of greatness. I wouldn't say compared to what we saw today in Boulder and what we anticipate seeing in Fort Collins, we're there on the interconnected greatness. So we've been doing it just internally in Utah, and this is our first one outside of the state. So we brought 10 elected officials and staff. We have city council members, county commissioners, city council mayors, and some staff members as well. And basically, we just want to get them to drink the Kool-Aid. So they are all seem to be in good spirits, but it's been really successful. Most of the rides that we do within Utah, we have anywhere from 30 to 60 people on the rides, and these are the people who are planning our roads and funding them. So it's been a really effective strategy for us in terms of getting more people who might not be bought into bicycling more involved. A couple other things that might be of interest to you folks. I always highlight this when I was talking about this as we were raising money for it, but we've been working on an active transportation benefits study, a statewide study. So I always highlight the one that Colorado did about 15 years ago that found there was $1 billion of economic benefit. So we've expanded ours and we're looking at the economic benefits as well as the health and the air quality benefits. Along the Wasatch Front, we face a lot of the same air quality issues that I think you folks do along the Front Range. So we're hoping to have those results in the next, sometime between December and March. So hopefully that will be a resource that you folks can use here to help move things even more quickly. And then the last thing I wanted to bring up is we're a statewide agency, so most of the stuff I have to talk about is more statewide specific. We've been working with our Department of Transportation, and we have four DOT regions. And we just launched a committee that's working with one of the regions to review all the upcoming projects that are going to be on state roadways to look at them for bicycle friendliness. So it's been a really effective tool in terms of most of the people at the DOT don't know what they're talking about when it comes to bike ped planning. So we have this group of seven folks who basically just come in, and when they have projects that are upcoming in the concept phase or in the planning phase, who are reviewing those projects, and we're working to expand that to the other regions. So it's been a really effective tool for us thus far in terms of getting the DOT a little more engaged. We run into the same urban-rural breakdown that you folks do. And so, but yeah, thanks so much for having us here, and I look forward to seeing what Fort Collins has to offer, but it seems like you guys are doing awesome. So I don't have to worry about you anymore.
Thank you, Phil. All right, so I know this was advertised as the Bike Safety Town presentation, but drum roll, that's not the name anymore. So you can see it right up there. It is now going to be called the Walk and Wheel Skills Hub. So
Is that part of the title on it?
And Tessa Grieger's Walk and Wheel Skills Hub. No. All right, so we had other options, so it doesn't quite roll off the tongue yet, but it will, I think. So, you know, Chris wanted to see Urban Skills Town, and, you know, there were some concerns with what that might, you know, maybe didn't apply only to bicycling and walking. But, you know, some other possibilities that came out, like Skillsville and things like that. But we did a survey, and So anyway, we're going with Walk and Wheel Skills Hub, and we're excited about that. So that's what I'm going to talk about, and I'm going to give a little bit of background just to kind of tie this to the bigger picture. So many of you were probably involved or have heard about the Bicycle Master Plan that was developed and adopted in 2014. This is the vision statement that goes with that Bicycle Master Plan, but really, you know, our goal is to see a world-class city for cycling where people of all ages and abilities can safely and comfortably ride a bike. So the primary goals that were adopted as part of that plan relate to bicycle ridership and safety. So we have a 20% bicycle ridership goal set for 2020. Just to put that in perspective, we're at about 7% right now. And then in terms of safety, we have a Vision Zero goal, zero fatalities, as well as reducing the total number of bicycle vehicle collisions that are happening in our community. So those were two of the key goals that kind of set the foundation for all of the recommendations that came out of that plan and the programs that we're implementing today. So just to give you some more information on where things are at in terms of bike crash trends. So historically, crashes were on the rise. And if any of you saw Joe Olson, who's the traffic engineer for the city, he presented a couple YGRs ago, no longer YGR. But he talked a lot about, you know, what traffic engineering is doing and bike safety and things like that. But historically, we have seen a rise in crashes. And over the past couple of years, we've actually seen that number come down by more than 25%. So, you know, we're not calling that a trend quite yet, but we are excited to see that. That's in line with our goals. We're also seeing the number of serious injuries come down at that same rate as well. So we'll have more information about, you know, what we're seeing in 2016 very soon. So, you know, we're not there yet. We haven't reached our goals. There's still a lot of opportunity to continue to improve safety and increase ridership. You've probably heard about the categories of riders. We talk about this a lot. And it's also one of the things that is kind of the foundation for our bike plan and the foundation for a lot of the work that we're doing today with the Low Stress Network and the different types of programs and classes that we have. So no longer are we really, you know, focusing on the what we call the strong and fearless rider, which some of you in this room may look like this person. But this ends up being about, you know, 1-2% of a typical population, people that are willing to ride in just about any condition, any roadway, and, you know, don't need bike lanes or things like that. We're focusing on this segment of the population known as the interested but concerned, and this, you know, depending on the community, can make up, you know, 55-60% of that community. So people that would like the opportunity to ride a bike more, but maybe don't feel confident or safe or comfortable in the given environment. So that's who we're focusing on as we talk about these programs and initiatives. The approach that we take with FC Bikes, and, you know, really the approach that kind of is underlying to, you know, all the things that we're talking about here is really a 5 E's approach. So, you know, you see the E's up there. The Walk and Wheel Skills Hub touches on all of these 5 E's, but really it's primarily an education initiative, but again, it relates to all of those 5 E's. So what is it? So for those of you that may have heard of Safety Town, you know, this has been sort of in the planning at various levels since 2010, 2011. So essentially a Safety Town is a miniature city designed with things like bike lanes and traffic lanes and stop signs, and it could have signals. It's a place for people to come out and practice, you know, safe cycling and walking free of cars. So there may be toy cars there, but in theory, there are no cars there. So it's just a safe place. Some cases, they have buildings and other things like that that really create this town environment. Others, you know, around the country have incorporated different components. So it may not be just focused on bicycling and walking. It could have fire safety or water safety or, you know, police training that's involved in them. So just to give you a few examples of some of the safety towns that are around the country. So this one is in Peoria, Illinois. This is 4 acres. It's a major, major project that required a lot of funding to implement. You can see they actually have an overpass there. So unfortunately, this is not the scale we're at today. Maybe someday. But that just, you know, that's on one end of the spectrum. And then there are others. You know, this is one that has actual traffic signals and real buildings that, you know, you could have classes and things like that in. kind of down to the, what was that? Down to the mobile, more of the mobile kit option. So, you know, where it's really, you know, this is more designed for youth, and this is something that you could set up on a temporary basis. So those are just a few examples from around the country. One that went in recently, it was just completed this summer in Arvada. So went down to take a look at this and took some pictures, and this has really kind of inspired the design, which I'll talk about here in a minute, for Fort Collins Walk and Wheel Skills Hub. So it's about the same size of land that they've used to develop their, what they're calling a bike training course. So just gives you an idea, they've used real life-size signs. These are delineators that, you know, are used for different training courses, like doing a weave, you know, practicing turning and things like that. Sharrows, so things that you might encounter in a real-world situation. They've got railroad tracks in there for people to practice, you know, how to safely cross the railroad. So to give you a little bit more background on kind of where we've come from with this project, so this was initially recommended in our former bicycle plan, the 2011 Bicycle Safety Education Plan. And at that time, there was quite a bit of work that went into, you know, looking at potential sites, looking at, you know, what are the criteria that we have in terms of a location. So we want to be close to schools, we want to be close to parks, want it to be accessible. But it kind of stalled out at that time. So we picked this back up, you know, over the past couple years and received some funding through our last budget cycle, about $55,000 to start to construct a safety town, what we're calling the Skills Hub here in Fort Collins. So that really inspired, you know, what we have today. So, yeah, just quickly, kind of what we've been doing over the past year or so, you know, we've looked at examples from around the country. We're looking at different locations, you know, given the amount of funding that we have, what can we actually do with $55,000? We developed a strong partnership with Summit View Church, and I'll kind of get to why that's relevant here in a minute. And at Summit View Church, we did a Safety Town demonstration, which some of you may have attended as part of the Pro Challenge kickoff event. So this was the week before the Pro Challenge. We had about 1,700 people that came out for this. It was a pretty cool event, and I'll show you some pictures of kind of what we did for that demonstration. And then, you know, over the past few months, we've been finalizing the design, the location, and changed the name to the Skills Hub. So this is just the temporary, I quote temporary because we went out there about a year ago and striped this with what we thought was temporary chalk paint, and it's still out there today, so if you want to, you know, a year later. Yeah, it was a fun project to do that. We just told them that it would be gone in a week. So anyway, this was kind of the idea, and, you know, we wanted to showcase what this could look like and get people's feedback. And so, you know, we had lots of kids that were and adults going through this course and just got, you know, really positive feedback about that. So the goals with the project, you know, back to kind of the larger goals for the program, you know, improving bicycle and pedestrian safety, encouraging youth to bicycle and walk and make it fun. And that kind of ties back into the name. So whenever I mentioned that the name of this was Safety Town, it was kind of a sleeper. People would say, you know, safety is cool, but, you know, they didn't think that it was cool enough, I guess, to attract. Or maybe it was me presenting on it, I don't know. But so, you know, provide a safe learning environment for people of all ages and abilities. So I say all ages and abilities, you know, we really want this to be more than just a place for kids. Obviously, that's a primary audience, but we teach a lot of classes for adults. We do learn to ride classes, and so we want this to be a place for, you know, everybody to be able to come out and, you know, whether you're getting into biking or you've been in cycling for a long time, to be able to practice some of these unique traffic situations that we encounter in Fort Collins. And then just accessible to the public, so we want it to be open to everybody. So in terms of the location, so this gets to the Summit View Church parking lot. So I don't know if anybody knew, but there's a large parking lot that's located at Drake and Dunbar. It's right off the Spring Creek Trail by Roland Moore Park. Some of you, you know, may think that this is a city-owned parking lot because people park there to, you know, to use the trail, and it's right there. It's very accessible. But this is actually owned by Summit View Church, and it's a great location for this. Obviously, it's accessible to trails, it's accessible to schools. There's a signal at Drake and Dunbar, so, you know, for people that are riding from the south can use that as an access point. We've been working with Summit View Church to lease that eastern portion of the parking lot, so it's about 0.5 acres, to be able to use this as the safety town. So we're pretty excited about that. It's a lease at no cost to the city. So we're moving forward with that, and you know, one of the advantages is that it's already paved. So for us to be able to do this with the amount of funding that we have, it makes it actually realistic. So here's the design currently, and I've got try not to trip here a few copies of this. So I think I printed out 10. So if you guys want to get in groups, and no, if you want to just pass, if you're interested in looking at it. In more detail, that's where we're at this point. You know, there may still be some minor tweaks to this, but I'll talk just briefly about, you know, what some of the key elements are of this design. So we've tried to incorporate as much as we could that you might see when biking around Fort Collins or another community. So we've got bike lanes, we've got shared lane markings or sharrows, travel lanes. We've got a roundabout in there, and a roundabout that has you know, the ramp, so you can learn how to use both options when navigating a roundabout. We've got driveways and intersections, so, you know, we know in Fort Collins about 80% of our crashes happen at driveways and intersections, so this is an opportunity for us to be able to use that as a place to train people, you know, how to interact at those locations. We've got a two-stage turn, or a Copenhagen left, down there in the bottom. We've got a bike lane next to a parking lane, and you know, it was actually kind of interesting putting this out to various stakeholder groups, because I was surprised to hear a number of the people say, well, why don't you stage a car there and you could just have people opening the door, which was surprising to me because it seemed like there might, maybe Chris recommended that one actually, but a number of people, it seemed like a risk issue for the city, but we'll have parking tees there to indicate that that's a parking lane, and you know, we could have some type of car stage there at some point, but probably won't be opening the door into people that are biking through there. But and one thing to note is that about 3% of the crashes in Fort Collins are related to parking. You know, we do everything we can not to have bike lanes in the door zone, but really in terms of the data, you know, it's not the primary crash type that we're seeing in Fort Collins, but we're, you know, obviously wanting to educate people as much as possible on how to navigate in those situations. All right, so we've got a bike box, we've got a railroad crossing, sidewalks, you know, in quotes, because we're not building in concrete. We'll have striped areas that, you know, will perform as pedestrian areas, stop signs and yield signs, and then we'll also have bike racks, fix-it stand, benches, and just educational signs, you know, as you go around the course. So if we're not there to be teaching a class, you know, you'll be able to know kind of how to navigate and what you're supposed to pay attention to. And in terms of next steps, so we're working on the branding and the marketing, you know, the logo and things like that. We are aiming to have this launched by early October. That's tentative, pending when we can get the lot repaved and things like that. That is our goal, and we'll have a launch celebration, a ribbon cutting, and things like that. So for more information, if you can just quickly jot down that short URL, you can also get to it from just fcbikes.com. So I think that's all I have, and yeah, if you have any questions about it, let me know, or feel free to email me. Or
got a couple minutes for questions if we want to. Anybody got anything for Tessa, either about Bike Safety Town or anything else that's going on with the city? Come on, nothing? She came all this way.
Yeah.
One in the back.
Yeah, so, you know, the best data that we have right now is it's commute. It's your primary commute, and that comes from the census data, so it's an annual survey that they put out, and the question basically asks, you know, what was your primary mode of transportation this past week, I think is what it is. So it definitely does not capture all of the trips that we see in Fort Collins, but that's, you know, the best thing that we have at this point to be able to compare from city to city and to kind of track on an annual basis. So that would be, you know, where that 20% number would come from. So primary, you know, wouldn't capture some of those other recreational trips and things like that. Strava? Yeah. What's that? Yeah. Yeah. No, and yeah, we look at that. You can see a heat map for free. You can see where, you know, the lines are thicker. So that's been, well, so I think if you want more data, you have to pay for it. So if you want, and I don't know that that's differentiated by commute versus just,
I think as an advocate, that the issue that I have, I think the concern that I have, and it's controversial, but the concern that I have in terms of using that as a planning tool is that the picture of who's commuting is not necessarily the same as who's commuting with a Garmin or a Strava app, and it may give us misleading priorities or misleading ideas about volume that might actually be counterproductive to the goal of safe streets for everybody.
No, I mean,
you're not helping us if you push that button.
I agree with what Chris is saying, but, you know, like I said, I look at that heat map, and it's interesting to see because it does show you trends of where it may not be the majority of the population, but where people are traveling in Fort Collins. And you can see that, you know, a lot of the routes that we've identified as, you know, the low stress network people are using. So it's not just the hardcore cyclists that are using Strava or routes that you might otherwise think they would be using. So it is helpful. I don't know enough about whether or not they distinguish between commute or other types of trips, but that may be the pay option, I'm assuming. So, but it is, I wouldn't discourage you from using that app and logging that data. Hi, Pete.
So what?
So the 2014 and 2015, the numbers have been down by. No, Pete, that's not a correlation. No, there's obviously, you know, lots going on, and again, we don't know if that's an anomaly or a trend, but we're happy to see that, and so.
Thank you, Tessa Grieger from FC Bikes, for coming up. Unless there's any other questions.